We were super excited on Pentecost Sunday to host a combined choir from Charlottesville High School. It was Graduate Recognition Sunday as well, and we recognized 7 graduates. This is the message for Graduate Recognition Sunday and Pentecost. Dare to shine. It's that time of year again. Spring is coming to an end, summer beckons, and we have a series of celebrations and holidays and graduations, which means that folks are likely to hear a commencement speech or two. Oh, goody. Really? I mean, those poor speakers, they have quite an assignment. It's hard to even dare to be clever or unique or memorable, or even harder to inspire young graduates to breathe in the moment and embrace the challenge. And as stated in our graduate song that was sung earlier, because at the end of the day, it's time to begin. Once you think it's all said and done, you start all over again. To be honest, even that idea, well, it isn't very original. Very few things are, like Pentecost, for instance. Nothing new, though it celebrates new beginnings. Let me explain, if you don't mind, and even if you do, here I go. Pentecost is a pretty important day in the life of the church. It is a day when church folk are seeking and remembering others who were remembering and seeking inspiration. That is the indwelling of the Spirit. Even daring folks to start all over again by moving into a new direction is an old story. But I think it's worth repeating. Now, probably most folks here who have heard of Pentecost think its origin was in first century Jerusalem, but it actually wasn't. Pentecost, as Christians celebrate it, some 2,000 years old, but its origins began even thousands of years before, when a group of freed slaves found themselves at the foot of a mountain in the middle of nowhere, seeking direction from not only their leader Moses, but their God Yahweh, just as they were starting over. They were getting discouraged standing on their own in the middle of the world's largest sandbox. So Moses, at God's urging, trekked up a mountain which seemed to be consumed by smoke and flame and God's Spirit, and then some days later he strolled back down with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, carried by a shining Moses, was just what they needed, guidance and encouragement to dare to be the people of God. It would be sometime later, when it became a Hebrew holy day, when the Leviticus leadership felt it was important to celebrate the waiting for and receiving God's direction in the form of the Ten Commandments. So there you go, the origin of Pentecost found within the Festival of Weeks, which was celebrated 50 days following Passover. Got it? And then, some 2,000 years later on Pentecost, some 50 days after Easter, we find our apostles and disciples of Christ hanging out together in Jerusalem. Waiting. Really. Really waiting to be told what their next move was to be. Which was said to have come from the Holy Spirit, whatever that was. Which Jesus talked a whole lot about before he left. Like in John's 20th chapter, when he said on the evening of his resurrection, beginning at verse 19, "That Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds on his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So then leap from John's pre-Pentecost pep talk to a room of left-behind disciples. Disciples, by the way, means student. And 12 apostles huddling, waiting for their new direction. Oh, how they missed the days when Jesus would have been in the room with them. Instead, he vaped off, ascending into heaven 10 days earlier, leaving them a pretty cryptic promise of the Holy Spirit. It was hard on them waiting, longing for someone or something to come and give them a good dose of inspiration and courage. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard to wait on what's next. But then, as written in Acts 2, on that holy day of Pentecost, as all the believers of Jesus were meeting together in one place, suddenly there was a sound from the heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." We skip ahead. And then Peter, that take-charge leader of the apostles, recited an ancient scripture from the Old Testament of Joel, saying, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy," which actually simply means teach. "And I will cause wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below." There you go. Pentecost 2.0, just like that. Now, I know it sounds pretty out there. Even for the most devoted believers, questions beg to be answered. I mean, who were those apostles anyway to take on the ministry of Jesus? He was at least a miracle worker. They were just, well, run-of-the-mill guys from Galilee. Regular folks like you and me. I mean, come on. Why them? Why in that way? Why then? Well, I'll tell you what I think and why I believe that all of a sudden those everyday guys were able to speak in ways that other everyday people from all over could understand. Because as scared as they were also open and ready and seeking to be inspired, and then with courageous vulnerability they dared to shine. And in doing so, they set the stage for one of history's greatest commencement speeches ever given, changing those who heard it for good. A speech given, nonetheless, by an undereducated fisherman known more for putting his foot in his mouth whenever it was opened. And that was Peter. It is written that Peter stood before the thousands and thousands who were drawn towards the disciple-bound ruckus on that Pentecost day and spoke of how the lives of all men and women, young and old, would be filled with the same Spirit of God if they would just dare to believe. It was recorded that on Pentecost that year, over 3,000 were turned to inspired to live and love God and all others as Christ had commanded. And by the way, in those days, when they recorded numbers, they usually only recorded men. And it is also for that very reason, when this time of year rolls around, people of the Christian church celebrate. I mean, we celebrate Pentecost. Celebrating taking something old and making it new. Celebrating the very grand act of everyday folks like you and me from all over the place daring to shine. Pretty neat story, huh? I mean, even if you consider it a fable, it's a pretty amazing story. One that a girl born in Kansas a half a century ago can't help but talk about. A story that inspired this girl who a lot of folks would have never imagined standing in a church preaching. I mean, who am I anyway? I'll tell you who. I'm someone no different than any in this room who's willing and open to be inspired, to be open to receive God's Spirit and follow its nudge and urge and requirement. I am the girl who realized that God uses all sorts of people to tell God's story, speaking in their own language, sharing God's story to inspire others to do overs and startups and start agains. Now, some of us use the language of metaphor, and some the language of music. Others use the language of math and physics. Others speak the language of law. Some use physical and psychotherapy. Some even use the culinary language of hoagie building, for God's sake. No matter the language, if it is inspired and is a language of love, God can and will put it to good use. Now, I know many of you don't know me, and some of you I don't know, but I know this. This God that inspired those Israelites hanging with Moses and those Pentecostal first century Hebrews is the same God ready to inspire folks like me, folks like you, daring each of us to be compassionate, to be loving, to be open, to be affirming, daring us to be different, daring us to dream dreams and have visions, daring us to be inspired, daring us to inspire, daring each of us to shine.